Raised Rowdy.
Welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. We are doing a special edition this week, and I think it's a really cool one. So we have the gang here, Matt Barrill and Ike Everard. I'm sure if you know this podcast, you've seen Matt co-host with me a few times on the podcast that you're listening to right now. And Ike is our content lord, aka the content prince.
Yep.
Our first hire on the Raised Rowdy family that isn't someone that is just put in sweat equity and ownership. And I wanted to do this episode because I think that the position we're in this year is really cool.
Yeah.
Most people get to experience a festival from one side of the barricade or another, you know, whether that is as a fan or as someone that's either putting on the show or the artist. And this entire summer, we are seeing it from both sides. We're interacting with festival promoters. We're interacting with artists. We're interacting with fans. And it's just something that's a little bit different than what everybody else kind of has been doing in the scene. So to kind of kick off that, I want to ask a few questions, and then we'll kind of dig into some of the things that we're seeing throughout the festival series. We'll dig into some of the things that you guys have watched artists-wise that have made you say, wow, this person could be a star or is becoming a star. And then I'll go from there. So first question, and we'll want you guys to go like one at a time
for it. Before we get into there, I'd like to recap where all we've been, because it's been, we're like six or seven in, I think.
Yeah.
On the year. Like, we look at the top of the year, we started in Auburn.
Yep.
And that one, we were just on the other side, on the normal side of the barricade.
Yeah,
right?
We were a vendor.
We were a vendor, so we got to see that, and that was sick. And then Rock the Country 1, Rock the Country 2. Rock the Country 3, Rock the Country 4, yep, right? We're four in, right, Ike?
Yep.
And then Tailgates and, yeah.
Country Concert,
yeah. So we're freaking like six or seven in, which is wild.
Yeah, we're kind of like in the middle of the season, and that's why I thought it'd be cool to do this. I think we could probably do another episode if you guys like it. We'll do another episode like this at the end of the season and kind of talk about what we're continuing to see. Raised Rowdy started with a bunch of people that went to festivals. You were heavy in the Southern rock world.
Yeah.
I was in the country world, specifically Country Concert, CMA Fest. And Ike was just...
I went to Watershed.
Yeah, he was a baby while
I went
to
a bunch of festivals in Seattle that weren't country festivals. Yeah. Right. But yeah.
So I really feel like, you know, as we've grown, we really identify ourselves kind of as a festival brand.
Yes,
you
know? Very much.
Like, our name came from a group chat that was from a crew of degenerates that went to festivals.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about Country Concert every year kind of being our Super Bowl. So with all of that said, I think it's a good time to kind of like break down what's been going on. So my first question is, what is one thing that has surprised you from festival season this year?
Ooh, it rains a lot.
Yeah. I've been surprised by how many people come out in the rain. Like, they don't care. And I knew that they didn't, but yeah, it's cool to just see that. And I thought that people would be turned away more by the mud, but they're out there partying.
Yeah, they come out for sure.
I always say that the only thing you can do if it's raining at a festival is just drink more beer. Like, if you drink enough beer, you will forget how wet you feel.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing, too, and I'd seen it a little bit from my touring days, but the camaraderie amongst artists and different camps, particularly with a festival series like Rock the Country, where you get to have those relationships and those friendships, like seeing different crews that are very close with each other, you know, and it's like a big reunion. And we've seen that at Tailgates before, but this year, especially with Rock the Country, with being at all of them, we've seen that a lot.
Cool.
Yeah, definitely.
I will say one cool moment, speaking on that I saw at Country Concert this year, side stage, was Graham Barham and Corey Kent both played the same day. And literally, I tell you, they talked for an hour and a half after their sets together. And it was just super cool watching them. And I don't know how well they knew each other before. You know what I mean? I'm not sure of their relationship. But watching them get to spend that much time together was super cool.
Yeah, that reminds me of the Zach Top Gavin we got to have too afterwards. And again, like sonically, Graham and Corey couldn't be any more different.
Right.
Just like Zach and Gavin are different. There's some crossover with fans there, but yeah, like you get to see folks that hadn't gotten the chance to meet have those moments because they're playing the same stage on the same day.
Totally.
I think it's cool. And then another question I have, like, kind of for this opening is, what's one thing you believe now that you didn't believe in April or May?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, I kind of knew what we were getting into with the Rock the Country stuff, but at the same time, I didn't know how much it would mean to the people in those small towns. Like in Ashland, Kentucky, we were looking up some of the other events that happened at the Boyd County Fairgrounds with, what is it, like the mullet contest?
Oh, yeah, they got mullet contest, pig races, demolition derby.
Yeah, the demolition derby. But it's like how much it means to that community when you go there. Yeah. Like it means so much.
When you
much.
Have Jelly Roll there, you have, you know, yeah, those kind of shows.
Yeah.
People love them.
I remember last year talking about, and this was Tailgating Tall Boys in Iowa, and it's big news in a small town.
Yes.
Right? So there's all of these little towns across the nation. I mean, if you look at like what Luke Bryan's doing and has done with the farm tour,
yeah,
that don't get to have something of this level with this number of stars in it, maybe ever before. Or if it did, it was 10 years ago and it's not back, you know? It's almost like the carnival coming to town, you know? It's an experience. A festival is really an experience, right? You're in it.
Yeah.
And you're in it together with the other people that are there. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And in very Nick fashion, I'm going to use two song lyrics here because we love to talk in song lyrics when we're together.
Yeah.
I think of Hillbilly Deluxe when Ronnie Dunn goes, "Big time and in a small town."
100%.
And then I think of Jason Aldean when the lights come on, when the six string circus comes to town. And it's both of those things, you know, like both of those lyrics are what they are because of like what you just said, you know?
It's cool. And I think we've always been at festivals. I mean, you were on the road touring, right? Me and Ike, not so much on that. But I think getting to see it and be in it is like a different level because, you know, if you're at a show, you're at a festival as a fan, you're not thinking about all the details and all of the things that are happening.
Yeah. And that's what I like about the differences in our involvements with all of these. Like some of them were very much behind the scenes and we're there. Ike and I are in the command center and like we're watching as fires are being put out or the storm is being weathered quite literally. And then there's other ones that we get to go to where we're just there mostly as fans, but we're selling hats and t-shirts too, which was Auburn and Country Concert, you know, and Country Concert, especially because it's like, we're camping, like we're there with all the other patrons, you know, like we're in it. We're riding on the bus, not as much in recent years, but like we've ridden on that bus that drops you off to Verisside, you know, like it's cool to see it from that angle, but it's also cool to see the folks that are putting it on run around and do what they do and see what the security's doing, see what law enforcement has to do, what production has to do, what all those different folks have to do, what the social media, what, because we've covered festivals for like a few years now, but to actually be a part of, like, have a seat at the table with the folks that are have their social plans for the entire festival, it's been really cool to see.
Yeah. I also think you have to be out there to see it because we get in such a bubble in Nashville when it comes to artists of like who's working or people that we know that we think are big, but like the average country music fan isn't in this Nashville bubble.
Nope.
So if you're gonna be doing curation or media or marketing, like you have to be out there with these crowds and see what they're digging and what they're resonating with, or you're gonna get stuck in a cycle.
And every market's different. Like what worked in Ashland, Kentucky so well was that country rap and was that small town. I mean, Jesse Howard, a guy that I was not familiar with, and he played three songs, but he had like a couple thousand people at the side stage
and they
to watch
were
him.
Feral for him. They loved him.
They were trying to climb the fence to get backstage to him. Like Sierra the Rapper would not have worked in Bloomingdale, Georgia, but it worked very well in Ashland, Kentucky, you know? Yeah. And just like I'm trying to think there were some Texas acts, like the Texas rock thing might not have necessarily worked in Kentucky. Like seeing what each area gets up for, like Lakeview dominates at tailgates, you know, like the tailgates crowd is going to be different from the country concert crowd. Like how we've seen like even headliners, like a Jelly Roll or somebody be received in certain markets, you know, and you get to see side stage acts have their moments, which has been one of our favorite parts of this year. I think I speak for Ike too.
And it shows you that success as an artist isn't tied to social media always. Like, you can have a successful, fulfilling career without the likes, without the numbers. If you're going on and putting on shows for your people and you're making enough money to live off of, like, that's successful.
100%. And there's no right or wrong way to build a career. There's just there's ways that you can do it that are lower cost of entry. Yeah, right?
For sure.
And I think that's what people are doing. Well, cool. So let's talk about, like, in my head, I'm going to kind of break this into like four chunks. So the first one, I want to say, like, what we learned about country music fans. So let's start that with, like, what's something country music fans do better than fans of other genres?
Drink beer.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Drink beer. I mean, we were talking with someone in Ashland, Kentucky that was familiar with, I think it was the other content guys. I think it was Steve, and I forget the other kid's name, but they're California guys, and they were talking about Coachella versus Stagecoach and the beer consumption and how people that aren't even country music fans go to Stagecoach because it's so much more of a party than Coachella, you know? Yeah. So, like, hearing that, but I mean, they also want to make sure that they support the side stage, like the people going over and watching the up-and-coming acts, whether that's a Paxton P or a Connor Hicks or a Callie Prince or anyone that we've been lucky to have on our side stages, and country concert too. I mean, the saloon stage, in my opinion, we don't have our name on it, we do on the camper party, but it's my favorite side stage in all of live music. Yeah. You know,
that side stage at country concert special because they built the infrastructure to make it elite.
Yes.
If it's raining, you can be under the overhang early to make sure you're up front, but also to be out of the rain.
Yes.
It's the same every year. You know what you're getting into. And the gravel is laid out in a way to where even when it pours down rain, it drains out extremely well. So I absolutely love that side stage. Again, like you said, that's one of the things that has made me fall in love with country concert over the years in Fort Laramie, Ohio. I know we say country concert and you might not know what it is. It's a festival that's called Country Concert.
Yeah, it's been around long enough to where they own countryconcert.com. Shout out to the Bar Horse family. Yeah. But also, people love all flavors of country music ice cream. Like, people get down with the country rap stuff. They get down with the country club stuff. They get down with the more pop stuff. They get down with the very rowdy stuff too, you know? Like, the people that were rocking to the country rap stuff were also front row for Brantley Gilbert going nuts.
Yep. And I love seeing that too because, you know, a guy that's been getting flack on the internet, Graham Barham, we've watched him at Tailgates and Tall Boys crush, which I knew he would because that market, it has a heavy crossover.
Yes.
But I also got to watch him crush at Country Concert, which Country Concert's demo is more traditional leaning. They like the stuff that sounds like the old stuff, but they fully, at least on the side stage, embraced exactly what Graham was doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, country fans are big on music discovery, I think. They're open-minded when it comes to, like, finding new artists. And I'm sure fans in other genres are too, but especially you see it at a country festival where they're at the side stage. They're not at the activations necessarily. You know, they'll go to an activation to get a free can of Monster, but then they'll go over to the side stage and see a new artist, and they'll wait to meet them after the show.
Yeah, and country fans also pay attention to what happens during an artist set from what they're seeing on social media. Like, as soon as Treaty Oak gets to Boomtown at the end of the set and they play it off like they almost forgot to play it, but they're of course going to play it last. And everyone knows what you do during Boomtown. Everyone knows what you do during a Chase Matthews show when he screams out, "Hey Chase," during She's Country.
Yep, you know, they know, like, when Ashley Cook's going to bring up the blue eyes. Like, yes.
Yeah. Like, those trends translate to the live audience in any market.
Which I think is cool. And that tells you that social media and how important it is.
Yes.
To the live show. That is what's making those people sell tickets, right? Like, having a moment in your show where you can break through enough that 100 people want to post it every time you do it on social media means that you're doing something right in your live show.
Yep, absolutely.
How about this? Has there been artists that you were surprised that fans knew every word to their songs?
Jay Webb.
Yeah.
Jay Webb, for sure. Jay Webb, we've been lucky enough to see him. He headlined at Tailgates, right?
Yep.
And then he headlined in Bloomingdale, Georgia. He headlined in Sioux Falls. And then he headlined this last one in Kentucky. And the people knew every word. I mean, even Paxton P.
Yeah, there was a Paxton fan out there who was screaming her head off. She was like, it was her best day of her life, I think.
like singing Loved more it. Than just Missing Mississippi.
Every song.
Like, every song, like Cry Me a River.
She said she'd seen him 10 times in Starkville, and that was, like, her first time meeting him, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome. I saw a sign during at this last one in Kentucky where someone was holding up a sign that said, "Statesboro, Georgia loves Brantley Gilbert," and that was in Kentucky. In the GA pit. So with the side stage, you really see that, you know, because you don't know exactly. And And there's people that Nashville isn't necessarily talking about, or Music Row isn't giving the love to, or like that doesn't have like the buzz in here that can go out and sell a shit ton of tickets.
Someone who we've seen a lot in Nashville who doesn't have a ton of buzz in town is Eddie. Like Eddie and the Getaway, they rip. Their live show, they crush every time at the festival. 100%. They leave there with hundreds of new fans.
Yeah, and Sadie Bass crushes. Demon Jones crushes, and he's been doing it a long time, going back to his days when he was a member of Rehab.
Yeah.
It's cool just seeing all those different things in all the different markets, you know?
That's cool. I think that's one of the things, too, that, like, as we talk about the bubble here, right? Like, we honestly can get someone that's a good salesperson to be like, this person's going to be the next big thing. Or, like, this person has a team behind them, which it pumps it. But when you see it live, you see if it translates to fans or not.
Yes.
You know very quickly.
Yep. Like, yeah. And in Nashville, everybody's sitting in the back of the room with their arms crossed, scared to be a fan of people. You can't see it in Nashville. You have to go to other markets to see who actually has fans, who has people screaming lyrics.
And that's why we like to be out, like, for the main stage. We like to be out and in it. Like, people on the festival side, whenever we've been out at Treaty Oak, they're like, you're going to go out there? I'm like, you're damn right I'm going to go out there. I'm going to stand in the VIP. I'm going to go VIP side. I'm not going to go in the Gen Pop, but like, I'm going to be on the VIP side, but I'm going to be in it. I'm going to be smoking a cigar, and I'm going to be singing every word.
Well, the key with the VIP side is the reason you're spending that money for the tickets is because then you can go to the bathroom or you can go get a beer and you can get back to where you were.
Yes.
On the GA, you got to hold it.
Yes, you got to hold the line for
sure. Or you
sure.
have to make friends with everyone on your way out so that they'll let you back into where you're at. So that's like, I mean, in my head, that's what a VIP you're paying for.
Yeah, it's not like a bougie, like, you know, it's just a little convenience.
So you can get back to your spot. Yes. You might have a little bit nicer bathrooms.
Yeah.
You know? All right, so more stuff on that. What do you think is one thing that every great festival crowd has in common?
They all know what they're there for. I mean, they're all not afraid to party. They're ready to sing every word. They're not ashamed to be a fan of the artist who's headlining. I think that they're just like, they know what they signed up for, and they paid the money to be there, so they're ready to go. Like, we've seen some deader crowds, I think, where they just came because maybe their friends did or because there's nothing else to do. But, like, the ones that really get after it, they're there for the show, and they know exactly what they signed up for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's, I would say, like, the logistics of it is an important thing as well. Like, the way that the camping is set up and the access for people to get in and out, the spot where the bathroom is, the way that the staging is laid out, like, country concert is like a pinnacle of that with the way the side stage is.
BYOB helps too.
Yeah, BYOB certainly doesn't hurt. But then also even the, like, the way the side stage was set up at these last few Rock the Countries that we've been at, it's been directly opposite. And Ashland was a bigger crowd than Sioux Falls, so the grounds were stretched out a little bit further, but people can kind of bing-bong back and forth. And then, like, tailgates where the side stage is here and then the main stage is here, and it's easy to get back and forth is very nice, too. So I think that's a good quality if you're doing a side stage.
So layout.
Yes, the layout, big time.
Cool. What's something artists obsess over that maybe fans don't even notice? Is there anything you can think of?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, a lot of the stuff they obsess over is important, you know, like sound checks and if they have tracks, making sure they're on sync with that.
Yep.
I mean, there's little appearance things. Like, fans aren't going to care if your hair's out of place.
Yeah.
They're there for the show. You know, they're all human. I think artists do obsess over that sometimes. Or, like, outfit choices. Fans don't really care unless you have a strong brand.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you can establish a brand by figuring it out.
Sure. Like, if Demon Jones showed up without a straw hat, you'd be like, all right, like, that's kind of weird. But, you know, if your hat matches your shirt, fans don't care as much.
Yeah, and it's the routine that they have backstage. Like, Gavin has the ice bath, and people have their things that they do on their buses, like Brantley with his humidor and, like, the coffee machine that he's got. And, like, the different things, like, to where the way that their day's laid out, like, show day is game day, and they, like, you're getting ready to play a football game, you're getting ready to play a show, so I think making sure those are in sync, but also every festival ground in the back is different, you know, and the way it's laid out and where the buses are and the way the hospitality is, and everything's different as well.
100%. And I think that's one of the things, like when we talk about like what makes our favorite festivals, like a festival like Tailgate and Tall Boys, the infrastructure they have, like the amount of gravel they have, the amount of buildings they have that you can like pop into on the side of like catering and artists hanging out. Like, I think that's like such an important part to make an integrated festival.
And the way people can get in and out too. Yep. That's a big thing. The way the parking is and the way that that all flows is a big thing as well.
Yeah. Also having covered areas if it rains. Yeah. I mean, we saw people sitting under a semi truck this past weekend, which maybe not the safest option, but it worked. If you have covered areas, that helps a ton.
Yes, definitely.
All right. So let's go to, you know, the second kind of batch of things, which is what separates great live artists. So for this, like, let's focus on why they're great, not just who is great.
Right? Yeah.
So like, what's the difference between a good artist and a great live performer?
For me, it's a balance of energy, a balance of talking between songs, and a balance of playing, because I've seen people who talk too much and the crowd, they kind of lose the crowd. But if you don't talk at all, the people aren't going to get to know you. They might as well queue up a Spotify playlist. So I think balancing those talking moments with the songs and then just bringing that energy when you perform. I mean, we see it all the time, right? Like artists who are looking into the eyes of their audience members, pick a couple people to sing to each song, resonates a ton because everyone in the crowd feels that energy.
Yeah, and it translates to the band as well. Like, we'll go back to Brantley and go back to Treaty Oak and Gavin. Like, every guy on that stage kind of has a moment where they're ripping. I mean, Brantley's been covering Limp Bizkit every night and doing Rollin' and then covering Linkin Park, where he has one of his guitar players sing Chester's part of that. And yeah,
Treaty Oak has the sound guy come out from backstage.
Yeah, comes out and sings the last verse of
It's on Boomtown, right?
I think it's on Boomtown. Yeah, sings the last verse on Boomtown, which is cool. And yeah, I mean, it's also just knowing how to connect with an audience. Like, Sadie's done a really good job of that when we've seen her this year, and getting a crowd hyped, you know, especially if you're earlier in the day. Your job is to get everybody as excited and as rowdy as possible before the headliner.
Getting that mic off the mic stand is huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, movement. Yeah. Movement. You have a wireless mic on that stage for a reason. Like, use it.
Or sometimes it's wired, but, you know,
most of the time it's been wireless. But yeah, just running around and like people that get down and into the barricade and like get into it with the crowd is a big thing as well.
Yeah, you can sing slow songs while still moving around.
Yeah,
you definitely can.
And one of the moments that I've seen that like shows that to me is Cameron Whitcomb doing that backflip and then going out into the crowd at Tailgates and Tall Boys.
Yeah. Not everyone can do a backflip, but getting out in the crowd, though, anyone can do that.
But that's also what makes Cameron Cameron.
Yeah.
He does a thing that not everyone else can do. And man, the side stage, like the, what I would call like the underplay on the side stage of like an artist like Cameron, who should probably be playing the main stage if you're talking about number of fans and like where they're at, but getting to absolutely demolish that side stage is such special moments.
And that's what makes festivals so special too. Yeah. I mean, it works so well.
Yeah, and that's like what you saw. I'm sure you saw with Vincent Mason
at
the side. I'm sure that was a huge crowd.
Vincent was big. Corey's was even bigger.
Yeah.
You talk about seeing Bailey at that side stage or Ella or whoever. Gavin. Yeah.
Yeah, and in my head, like, that's the cool part. Like, when Bailey played the side stage at Country Concert, not only were there so many fans that waited the entire time during the headlining set on the main stage, but like it filled in so quick and so big that like you get to get that moment as if you paid $2,000 for a ticket to see the guy that you probably like the most. If you're a 21-year-old kid that year, you probably like Bailey the most of anyone on that line.
And why do people want to see him? His energy on stage.
Yep.
Like, if he just stood there, people wouldn't come back to his show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also an advice for anybody, especially on like the side stage that isn't like massively huge, doing that meet and greet after. Mm-hmm. Like Paxton P had like an hour long meet and greet line, and
Jay Webb
was down in the barricade, and I was running around with a Sharpie like I was back in being a tour manager again. Like, it was like having that interaction, and that's how you build those fans, because at festivals, those are the diehards of the diehards, you know? So it's like having those, giving those moments to people, especially like those folks that might have come out that night for a headliner, getting those moments and becoming super fans of the side stage people.
Yeah. Quick question. Like, what do you think the importance of confidence is, at these artists.
Oh,
huge.
You can see who has it and who doesn't.
Yeah.
For sure.
No one wants to watch a shaky performer who, if they don't believe in what they're singing or doing, they're not, the audience isn't going to lock in on that.
Yeah. That's the thing that I always say is like, the more confident an artist is when they hit the stage, the more fans they're going to leave that show with.
Yeah, the artist or the band is in. They're the captains of the ship. They're steering the boat for that 45 minutes, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it is.
And I've seen people be nervous, but they fake that confidence and it works, and eventually they settle in. You know, like if you get up there in the right mindset, even if you're nervous, you can have confidence and project that.
It's like Sierra was nervous, but you wouldn't have known that Sierra the rapper was nervous because she was confident and commanding. Her and Cliffy's show was so much fun.
Oh, I wish I got to see that.
Yeah, it was sick.
How much do you think crowd interaction in the middle of your show matters? So like call outs, asking people to wave their hands, whatever. You guys have seen a bunch of stuff. Does that keep the crowd engaged? Like talk about that for a little.
For sure. I mean, it takes it from the crowd's watching a movie of your show to they're in it. You know, you got to make them part of the show.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that's a big part of like when we talk about Treaty Oak and the beers being.
Oh, yeah. That's all the shows that we see, I think, right? Like the artist gets the crowd involved.
Yeah, you want it. Yeah, it's an experience. You know, like it's an experience. You want them, if they don't know the words, get them to put their hands up.
Yeah.
Or artists will teach them the chorus. Hey, when I sing this, like sing this along with me. And,
or the callbacks. Like, Demon Jones wears a shirt that says bitch please, and then he's screaming out bitch, and there's a couple thousand people screaming please. Like it's awesome. You know,
sick. And like one of the things that I think is important about this thing too is like what I know we talked about it a little bit, but let's reiterate, like what artists feel even bigger live than they do on streaming.
Oh, J-Webb.
Yeah, definitely.
J-Webb's the answer to a lot of questions. I mean, all the country rap people that we saw, Jesse Howard was insane.
Paxton, I would say.
Paxton killed it, you know.
And why? Why do you think that is with these artists?
Because they have reps and they know how to be out there. They know how to connect with the crowd, I think, honestly. Definitely. They know how to be on stage.
Energy. A lot of it is music that has more bass in it, too. Sounds a lot better with those systems than on your phone. Or sometimes your car can hit with the bass, but like, a lot of times when we're listening to music, we don't get the full experience of how they intend a song to sound.
Yeah.
But if you hear it at a concert on that sound system, it just, you're wrapped up in it from the start.
That's it.
Yeah, taking control of the mic. I mean, Kaylee Hammock had an incredible show at Country Concert. Like, her show was unbelievable. And she threw a lot of songs in there that people know. Like she went very cover heavy, and there's nothing wrong with going cover heavy, especially if you're going in front of a crowd where you're not the headliner, it's not your show. Like getting the crowd into it, you know? And
yeah. And I actually got to chat with her lightly before that show, and she said that like when she does shows like that, she has Audible she can play from going from an original to a cover with her guys, and she'll just call it out so that they can make sure they keep the crowd, or if they don't think they have it, they'll put another cover in there to make sure they have it.
Smart. And she has so much experience, she can read the crowd and know exactly what buttons to hit to make that work.
Yeah, I mean, after touring with Stapleton and Eric Church and, you know, every one of those people, watching them do it, but also getting reps in front of their crowd, you know how to draw them in.
For sure. And, like, we can dissect that Tyler Nance show, too, at Country Concert, because he had the crowd going crazy for him. And that's 100%. Someone, he's had success on streaming, you know, but, like, when you hear him on streaming, it's one experience, and it's kind of the, like, emotional, like, you know, that very, like, Americana feel. When you see him live, it's, like, almost spiritual,
because he's...
You see his emotion. You see him pouring himself out on stage, and it's just special. You get wrapped up in it so much
more. I think that's important, because we've seen artists that are definitely, their songs are a little bit slower and more stripped down and what they record and put out. And then we've seen guys like Zach Bryan, where we saw, it took you and I seeing that show at Auburn Rodeo. I think, were you there too, Ike?
No, I wasn't there for that one.
So that Auburn Rodeo years ago, we were like, oh, we get it. Because the songs live go so much harder with Reed and all those guys that are in the band. You know, like it's another level.
And the fans are part of that show.
Yes. Yeah, the fans are part of it. But I mean, sonically, it's a lot more full live than it is on the recorded track.
Yep. And like, that's why I think like a live record of Zach Bryan's does so much too, because you hear how they're playing it and you hear the fans almost like feverish.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Chase Matthew also does a great job with his live show.
100%.
Yeah. Chase
is one of the
best
entertainers in the genre.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. So like, here's like a little prompt. After watching dozens of artists this summer, here's what country stars consistently do differently.
Fan interaction, for sure. I mean, during the show, but especially after the show. You know, bigger stars maybe go back to their bus because they have meet and greets or whatever, but like country, even mid-level stars, like Cam Whitcomb signed for a long time after his set. Yep. And that just builds such a connection.
Yeah, it's that fan connection. And then I think I throw it back to the covers as well, like throwing in the hits, you know.
Pretty much everybody has covers in their set.
Yeah, even the headliners, we've seen the headliners throw a cover or two in there, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's smart because if you think about it as a festival goer, there's 20 artists on there. You're like, I like this person, I like this person, I love this person, I like this person. But you're there and you're experiencing it all. So that's when you can find your new favorite artist. But if you don't know any of their music throughout the entire set, you're going to get kind of bored, mm-hmm. you know? So if you throw a Toby Keith song in, or, you know, a iconic rock song of the past, like that can be a moment where someone, instead of going and getting another beer, like locks in, and then they got him for a few more songs.
Totally. I mean, it works for Connor. Like, you see Connor playing Cruise or Drunk on a Plane, and the crowd immediately perks up.
Yep. All right, cool. So the next thing I want to talk about is patterns, right? Because that's one of the things that we're getting to do that a lot of people aren't, right? Is a lot of people get to go to one festival a year. They made it to Windy City Smokeout. They had a great time. They enjoyed barbecue, whatever. But they don't get to go to all of these different ones. So what about this? Finish these sentences. The artists growing the fastest are.
You want like specific names or like habits?
Trends. Yeah.
Good. People who can capture their energy of their live show on social media.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because people want to feel part of something.
So the people that are having moments at a live show and those moments are leaking over into user generated content on social media.
Yeah.
Those are the ones.
100%.
Matt?
I mean, I think the social media is, if we're talking about artists that are growing the fastest, the social media is a big part of it, for sure.
So that social media, what's great, this is great if any artists are watching this, social media moments that you get from your live show are also making your social media pop.
Here's a good example, like Cam Whitcomb's videographer posts, not collab with Cam or anything, just videos of the fans just belting out lyrics. They're awesome.
Yeah.
And that builds Cam too, because
Now Cam's starting to post those too.
Cam's starting to post them, but those videos, even if they're just on his videographer's page, they're hearing Cam's music, they're seeing the effect it has on people.
Yeah.
They're gonna check it out.
It makes you want to go to a show. You want to be one of those people in the front row screaming and freaking out. Old 60 does a great job of that too. Fox and B's been doing that more and more, like capturing that moment of what it looks like to be at a show is definitely important.
That's huge.
All right, finish this sentence, Matt. The first 5 minutes of a set.
They have to be epic. They have to be like throwing, it has to be the thing that you've been waiting all day for. You know, it has to draw you in, especially if you're not somebody that's one of the big names on it. You have to draw them right in. You have to give them a reason to be there. You have to give people a reason, particularly on the side stage or early on the main stage, for people to walk over and watch you, because that's usually when they're in vendor world or they're doing something. So they have to draw you in. So whether that's the song leading into your set, like your walk-up thing, or it's your getting out there and tossing a case of beer in the air, or there's just like, it has to be like an explosion, you know?
Like, how about this one? One thing that changed my mind this summer is
the country rap stuff, I think. I mean, I listened to some country rap. Like, I'm not a fan of it, but like, I didn't know if it was as big as it is or if it would work live how it does. But seeing that at a lot of these Rock the Countries has just been like mind blowing, because these fans are there for it. The performers are great. And it's honestly like one of my favorite shows now to see is anyone in that kind of genre, because the energy is just different.
Cool. Yeah, the energy is very hyped on those.
Yeah, they're fun to shoot too.
Like, yes. Oh, yeah.
From a camera perspective, they're a lot like electric.
A lot of movement both in the crowd and on the stage.
How about this one? One trend I think we're going to see more of.
I think more crowd content. I mean, if we're talking trends, like really capturing the experience of the concert goer stands out, because anyone can now post, you know, talking head, singing head videos, but if you're making an impact on people, that's going to help you move.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I think as everything gets weird and everything seems like it's more AI, the more moments you can capture that are in real life, experiential based, are even more and more impactful.
Yeah.
How about this? One trend I hope goes away.
People not coming in early.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
People wanting to be in there early and watch everybody, which that depends on the lineup and everything too. And it honestly does depend on the headliner, because if it's like, I can't miss this person and you have a GA ticket and you want to hold it down all day, like, I think that's a big thing, like being there, people coming in early and everything.
Yeah, I mean, people pay so much money for these tickets, and then they sit outside the gates all day sometimes. It's like, come on. Like,
sometimes they get too drunk and don't even make it in.
The campsite's a fun party at a lot of these places, and a lot of the festivals put a lot of emphasis on that, but there's a lot going on in the gates, too.
Yeah.
I think that's big. Okay, so, like, the next section I want to talk about is, like, what fans and artists can learn. So, for fans, if you've never been to a country festival, why should you go?
Because you can see everybody, and because club shows don't really exist anymore. So if you want to see who's next, they're on the side stage or they're early in the day on the main stage.
And like, a lot of the tickets are cheaper than concert tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to go and get a bang for your buck and have an experience with your friends. It's the best way to do it.
Yeah. I think that's a big part for me, is like, after this recent weekend where I was at country concert, the people that we went to country concert with, I had one level of relationship with. And by the end of the weekend, you have a different level of relationship with them. The people that you go to a festival with, or that you meet at a festival, you become closer to family than you become friends.
You could go from acquaintances to family at a festival. 100%.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Being in the same experience for 4 days together, running through the mud, dealing with the chaos, dealing with running out of propane at your camper grill.
Yeah.
Like, doing that all together means so much.
And I think that's different from the camper perspective, because, like, going to the last festival that I just attended was Country Calling. And that was a different kind of one, but you're still walking with the same group of people every day, from the hotels on the boardwalk or to where the Uber stuff is laid out, versus, like, the camping. But, yeah, absolutely. You become very close with your people, for sure.
How about this? For fans, what makes festivals different than arenas?
Well, I mean, I think being outdoor, if you're just saying arenas, like, being outdoors, fun.
Even shed
show. Bonding. Yeah. And the collaborations that you get, especially. Like, we saw Brantley up on stage with Skinner holding a flag. You know, I don't know if he came out with Jelly to do their song, but you don't get that at an arena show.
I'd imagine
show.
He did, yeah.
We saw Demon Jones pop out with Brantley a couple weeks ago. Like, you get these cool collaboration moments between artists that you aren't going to get at one of their headlining
shows. And you're free roam. Mm-hmm. You're free roam. It's more than just a concert, like, with the activations that are there and all the vendors and all of that. Like, you're in a different, just a very different thing. And they're usually multiple days, and where you're seeing, like, four, maybe five acts on a shed or an arena or a stadium, you're getting like 10 to 15 a day at some of these
things. You can choose, like, free roam, you can choose how you want to watch. There's areas for people to set up camping chairs. There's people laying down on the ground listening. There's people standing up front. Like, you're not limited to one experience.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And what's the best way to experience one, in your opinion, as a festival goer, for the fans?
I mean, I would say get up front. If you really care about the headliner, get up front and watch it, because that's a pit ticket that's going to cost you thousands of dollars at a headlining show.
Yeah.
But you can get it for the concert price. If you don't care as much, then definitely check out the side stage and go experience the festival.
Yeah, if you're music discovery, get in there early. If you're there for the headliner and you want a good spot, buy the VIP ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I agree with that. The VIP ticket, like, it seems, when you look at it on paper, pricey, but when you take it over a 2 or a 4 day period, it's really not that much of a difference.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can go to a slightly nicer bathroom.
Yeah. Or and you can check out the side stage and still get up front
and come back, in my opinion, makes it worth it. Okay. So on this one, for artists, what's one thing every artist should learn from festival season?
How to play in front of different crowds. How to play in front of a crowd that isn't necessarily your crowd. And also the importance of networking and making friendships with other camps, and then taking in, you're essentially going to school, learning who Like, you can, if you're wondering why is Gavin Adcock working, you have an opportunity to watch a Gavin Adcock. You have an opportunity to watch a Cameron Whitcomb. You have an opportunity to watch a legend like Lynyrd Skynyrd or Travis Tritt. Like, stick around and network, because it's going to be very important to you and your crew that you have on the road to see how other people do it that are further along than you are.
Yeah, we were talking to Paxton. He said he hadn't seen Gavin before, right?
Yeah, and then
he
watched,
got to go watch from side stage.
Like, and they've come up in very they've come up in very similar places. They both have history with Statesboro, Georgia. They both came up in those rowdy college environments, and now Paxton could probably see some stuff there that he could incorporate and put his own spin on. You know, yep. That's priceless stuff.
I love that. What's one thing you've seen stars consistently do?
Engage the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Engage the crowd, have really good bands or have really good DJs or really good tracks, like be tight as hell.
Yeah, they don't make mistakes.
No, they don't make mistakes.
And if they do, they know how to cover. Like, they have enough experience to not freak out.
Yeah, they have their shtick. You know, some people there's not a lot of movement, some people there's a lot of movement, but you know instantly that it's their thing, you know?
And how about this? If you wanted to become a better live act tomorrow, what would you work on first?
Just being tight with your band. I mean, the more you can tell when someone's locked in with their band, you can tell by the way they move around the stage. They know who to go to during a solo.
Practice, watching it back.
You know, yeah, they're just moving in sync with everybody. It's not like a detached thing.
Yeah, it's knowing what your thing is. Because, I mean, if you look like a god chiseled in stone, you can stand still. Or if you have a voice that sounds like Fergie and Jesus and is generational, like a Chris Stapleton, Chris Stapleton doesn't have to move or talk.
Yeah.
People are there to hear him sing. So
His voice does the moving.
I think when we saw him at Boots on the Bayou last year, he barely did anything. Versus the headline of the day before, Keith Urban came out and played a song covered Pink Pony Club
from the crowd
on a little platform in the VIP section that wasn't there all day. They moved it out there specifically for Keith. But like, knowing what your thing is and knowing how to engage your crowd.
People. Yeah. Love that. All right. Finish this sentence. You know an artist is becoming a star when?
They're early in the day and everybody's belting it back and everybody's singing and people are waiting in line to meet that person and shake their hand and get a picture with them.
Yeah, I think we saw that like last year, Hudson Westbrook and Ty Myers. Just like the big level of crowd that you saw early in the day, like specifically at Calf Fry, was wild, relatively speaking, to what you see most festival seasons.
Yep.
All right, I got some rapid fire stuff. Best crowd you've seen?
Per festival or for an artist?
Festival.
Per festival, I mean,
Tailgate.
Tailgates was really cool. This last crowd in Ashland was awesome. I would say those two.
What made the crowd at Tailgates the best crowd?
The way that they were bouncing back and forth, the way that they were in sync for everybody, no matter how early or late in the day they were, and the way that they interacted and were just locked into the show. You can tell when people are like looking down and scrolling on their phones versus when they're holding up their phones trying to capture every moment. So when you see the phones in the air and they're dialed in, but also people when they have their phones away and they're just belting every word and they're in it. You know?
They're a crowd who knows what they're there for, like I was saying earlier. Like, they didn't just show up to be at a festival. They know exactly why they came and they want to have a good time.
Yeah, like Treaty Oak at Tailgates is probably the highlight of crowd for me right now.
Best surprise or biggest surprise?
Probably J-Webb. I mean, we keep saying him, but yeah.
That's what this is about.
Yeah,
He's just crushed everywhere we've seen him.
Yeah, every market, Jay has just dominated. And it could be we saw him at Tailgate, so we've seen him three Rock the Countries and Tailgate so far. And we'll see him at Rock the South, which I imagine will be a big one because he grew up like 20 minutes away from there. Mm-hmm. So I think that one, him headlining our stage at Rock the South, is going to be nuts. But I mean, yeah, and like was saying, the country rap stuff, I dabbled with it a little bit in my redneck radio days, but I mean, the way that people just connect and like, when you have a subgenre, and I think this applies to like the Texas rock stuff and applies to like the Fox and Beat, Six at Sunset, or the old 60, where it's like, country adjacent and isn't like the mainstream, people tend to, same thing with like rock, like punk rock fans are rabid and diehard, like grunge rock fans were diehard and whatever, like old school rap, like whatever. When it's like a niche thing, those fans are very, very proud and protective of it and really come out to support the people that carry that flag.
Yeah.
Love it. All right. What's the best opening song you've seen this summer?
Not an opening song, but I love Paxton's intro track, the I'm from Mississippi, like rap song. Mm-hmm. That one hits really hard.
That one hits really hard.
Treedio.
I mean, whenever Gavin comes out and the now, and the case of Miller Lite just goes flying in the air and the crowd just erupts, that's a big opening moment. Brantley, I mean, with the Rock the Country, we're seeing so much of the patriotism stuff that Brantley has this on his video wall, like Ronald Reagan's talking, like all this stuff, and he comes out and plays Real American, and the pyro just starts flying off. So that's a big hype moment too.
And so that kind of leads me to like the thing, like what's the best crowd interaction you've seen all summer?
I mean, Chase Cha-Cha Slide was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty great. Yeah. Giant Cha-Cha Slide. I mean, he just said, let's do the biggest Cha-Cha Slide that the world's ever seen, and he got the whole crowd going. And, you know, he comes up into just this big moment where he starts a song.
I love it. He was absolutely elite on that main stage at Tailgates. The crowd was going
crazy. He can own a crowd for sure. I mean, yeah. Boomtown also, crowd interaction. That's more crowd attack than interaction.
Yeah.
But that's always electric.
Yeah, yeah. Any of the Treaty Oak stuff, Sam prompts and knows how to set it up so well with their show to where it's just dialed in. So that's a big moment. I mean, I'd go Gavin, Treaty Oak.
Atlas like, chugging beers with the crowd.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah. That's what you do during a mistake. Like, you either can, like, stop your show and bitch through it, or you can use what you have
around
you.
And that wasn't his mistake. That was his mic went out, and they couldn't figure out how to get him another mic. But he said, all right, let's chug some beers. So he just hops up on the speaker and starts chugging beers with the crowd.
Yeah, Atlas chugged two Real American beers back to back while his mic wasn't working. And then they handed him the mic, and the crowd loved him even more for it.
I love it. All right, and then we'll do a final question, and we'll go around kind of like on this one. So what's one thing that you now believe about country music that you didn't believe or recognize before this festival season?
Oof. I mean, I believed a lot of stuff. What did I believe? I mean, the power of the subgenres, I guess. Like, there's something for everybody. Like, you were citing Graham at country concert. I would not have think that that would have worked. And the country rap, I knew people would come out for it, but I didn't think it would be as big as it is. Like, I mean, the whole genre, including all the subgenres, is just on a rocket ship right now, which is really cool.
I love that. And yeah. Ike, what's the one thing you believe about country music that you didn't believe before this festival season?
I didn't realize how many people liked multiple styles of country music. Like, I knew that, like, people in Nashville did, because we're here because we love music. And I know that some people did, but like the average country music fan will go stand in line for Jelly Roll, but they'll also watch Connor, or they'll watch, you know, slower stuff, faster stuff, and they'll love all of it. And obviously you'll have some people who don't, but I think more than I thought, there's a lot more diversity of the fan and what they want to listen to than a lot of people would think.
Yeah, the crossover stuff is very real, and it's more of a solution than it is a problem.
No, I agree. And honestly, I just did a short form video that, like, it's going to be helping us edit, talking about, like, genre borders, I think, are going to be gone in 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and we see it from playlists, right? Like, you listen to Coe Wetzel next to Big X the Plug, next to Willie Nelson, next to Nickelback, you know? Yeah. Like, playlists are not a rock station that you turn on and leave on for 4 hours, you know? So I think that's a great one. And for me, what's one thing I believe about country music that I didn't believe before this festival season? I think we're in a good position of just so many different types of people that love and really understand what live music is about. It's been a weird time for us. I mean, as people that have gone historically to a bunch of club shows and watching that kind of dry up a little bit, watching people change from a heavy drinking culture to a non as much drinking culture in the genre, while I still guess being way heavier than every other genre.
Yeah, it still is.
I believe that country music is alive and well, and that, as we talked about, the barriers are breaking down between what is what.
Yeah.
we joke about some stuff like neo-trad bro country, you know, like the walls are shaking and they're being broken down. All right, final thing, like, what has been your absolute favorite moment that you've got to experience, whether it's getting to interview someone or getting to watch something happen?
No, I mean, there's been a few. Like, there's been some going. I'm interested to hear yours first.
Mine first. I got to think.
That's what I'm saying. I got to think, too. We're well, like,
let's talk about mine, then.
Seven or eight in.
My favorite things that I've gotten to see this year is the development of artists. Stuff like watching Connor go from being so timid in town to like watching him absolutely crush on a side stage of people when he isn't worried about Nashville people thinking that he's shitty.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's a big thing that I think. And then watching genres that you would not consider country music 15 years ago live inside of the country world. Guys like Cameron Whitcomb is not country. He's rock.
Yeah.
But it lives there. And the country fans and the rock fans are the same people now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my favorite, I think, is seeing people that we've had play in town events and that we've known for so long have so much success and headline these festivals and just becoming closer with them and their teams and their camps backstage because, you know, you're on the road so much and just seeing the way that they develop and the success they're having and all their work paying off is just so, so cool. And it shows why what we do in town is important.
Yeah.
I think my favorite thing has just been how our involvement has grown. And I think that overlaps with all the cool moments, whether it be something with Gavin, or it be the Skynyrd moment, or it be getting to have a friendship with one of my idols in Brantley Gilbert. But and even like in Texas when we Ella played and we missed her whole set because we were on Chase Matthews' bus hearing all the new music that he's getting to do or that he's going to be putting out. And then being at the side, being behind the stage and Ella being rushed off by security, then turning her head and bailing from security and running over, giving me a big hug. Like, it's the first time, like, we used to go to festivals as attendees, and the first one we did, we paid a vendor fee and got our money back, but paid a vendor fee. And now we're backstage in the command center with a cart that has our name on it, running around making this thing work. And people are coming up to us asking us to fucking take pictures and sign shit. Like, it's like we're a part of this thing. And as country music's growing, we're getting to grow with it, which is really special. And like Ike said, the artists that we're getting to see, like, and watching guys like as recent as like Tyler Nance and
watching 60. Cole Goodwin up there sing Howdy is just so cool.
Yeah, like kids that we knew before the pop happened, and the pop's still happening for them, but to watch the crowd sing back, and it's like people even backstage are freaking out over this person, and we're like, oh, this is just so and so, you know, it's just our homie. It's seeing the folks that we were able to be there from the start for, and the folks that tell us that we thank you for giving them their first shot, and now they're getting paid tens of thousands of dollars to get out there and do their thing, and it's resonating with people.
I love it.
That's a cool moment.
Well, guys, I think this is a cool episode. I hope that you guys as fans enjoy this.
Let's do more of these like roundtable things.
As long as the people like it.
Yeah, as long as the people like it.
I think this is like we talk about, like, we're in an interesting spot where we're getting opportunities to be places and do things that not a lot of people get to do. And it is not lost on us.
No.
You know? Yeah. Like, you hear Matt talking about, like, we got a freaking golf cart that says our name on it.
Yeah, Ike's got a damn radio. Yeah. Like, he's synced into command. Another thing, too, I want to just end with is where we are going the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So I want to tee that up for people. So luckily, we have 3 weeks off.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic and very much needed. I know our ladies are both very happy about it. Yeah. Very, very, very happy about it. But we've got August. We're going to be, Ike and I will be at Crossroads 41 for 3 days of country and 1 day of rock, which I'm very interested on how the rock day is going to go.
It's going to be elite.
And a couple nights of Pete's Bar and Grill.
Yeah, a couple nights. Shout out Pete's, best dive bar in America in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And while we're there,
rock the country.
Nikki T, Nick Tressler, rock the country at the biggest location. It's gonna be
the best for me, of course.
Yes, which that one's got an insane lineup. You'll get to see the Bob Treaty Oak combination. Chaos. Yeah, it's gonna be epic. And then we have Boots on the Bend the following week in South Bend, Indiana. We might have something for you guys north of the border. We're still waiting on the details. And then Ocala, Florida, Rock the Country, and then Rock the Country in New York to close it out. 9/11 weekend with Kid Rock and Hank Jr. headlining, which is gonna be crazy. And then we've got the Floribama, the Frank Brown Songwriters Festival.
Yeah, that's going to be so much fun.
We got Rock the South.
And then Rock the South reschedule.
Rock the South. And we're waiting a couple more. Pigfest here in Nashville for those that are hyper local.
Pigfest forever.
Pigfest forever. Ike and I will be out there again. Maybe Nick if he's in town this year. And yeah, it's just, it's wild.
It is, man. It's been a super cool year, and maybe we'll make enough money to pay the credit card off. But even if not, we're having a damn good time.
We're getting there, and a big thank you to all of our festival partners. A big thank you to the folks selling our merch that have come out to these events with us. A big shout out to the festival merch people that are selling our merchandise, and everyone that's welcomed us with open arms.
Yeah.
We still don't quite, we feel like we belong there, but it's still kind of surreal, like every weekend getting to do what we do.
Yeah, that's a cool part too, is just getting to see all of the people that it takes week in and week out to really make something like this happen. And if everything runs right, they get no recognition. And if everything goes wrong, they get all of the non-recognition.
Yeah.
So we're thankful for all of those people, the people that we've gotten to meet or just grow in relationship with. And excited for what's come for festival season, rest of it, as well as future ones.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, guys, make sure you, if you don't follow Matt's podcast already, you probably do, but he has a one called Outside the Round. And then Ike also posts some, like, cool B-roll content on his social media at, what is it, Ike Everard?
Yeah, Ike.Everard.
Ike.Everard. Yeah. So you get to see, like, some cool B-roll and also recap videos that the team from Peachtree was like, why are we even doing recap videos if Ike's are this good?
Yeah.
But thank you guys for hopping on and doing
this. Of course.
I think it's cool, and I think it's a good way to, like, show who we are a little bit, not just artist interviews,
yes,
which is important, of course. Like, we're all here because we love music and we want to support the artists that we love, but it's a cool way to kind of, like, get a little peek behind the curtain. So
yes,
let us know if you like this too, specifically on the clips, or, you know, send us a DM on one of the Instagrams. We'll make sure that one of us reads it.
Yeah.
And thanks, guys. Cheers, beers, and hallelujah.